You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In the practice of Mahamudra, we touch the vastness of being, the mind of the Buddha. Reggie says that when we encounter the boundlessness of the universe, we may experience a freak out when we lose our reference points. He encourages us to trust these moments and open further beyond the confines of ego. These excerpts were taken from two different talks given at the 2005 Winter Datun and 2006 Meditating with the Body Retreat in Crestone, Colorado.
Based on the awareness of space. Space means, it's basically the idea that, you know, the saying, all dharmas agree at one point, meaning that whatever happens in your life, it's going to deconstruct you. It's going to take you apart. And that is what space is. When we say that phenomena, what is the wisdom aspect of phenomena? It's that the message of phenomena always is to let go, is to show us we have to let go, we have to open, we have to surrender. So space comes with that impact always to us. And space and the awareness of space, that's the basic message. Space is the message or the impact, and then awareness is that we actually click. The point here is that as human beings, we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of suffering. We have a lot of confusion. And every age has different ways of talking about it. And in our age, we use a largely psychological way of talking about our pain. And the thing is, in terms of the Dharma, you can't resolve relative reality on its own level. The only way you can resolve relative reality is by connecting with the basic space of the unborn nature. When you connect with the basic space of the unborn nature, relative reality resolves itself. And strangely enough, it does so immediately. This is this is probably the most important message of the Dharma. I'll come back to which we were talking about yesterday, and she was talking about relationships and what she's looking for in them. And the disappointment. Now, there are two ways to go with that. One is, there's something wrong with me because I can't find the kind of fulfillment I'm looking for in any relationship. And yet I keep looking, so there's something wrong with me. But another way to look at it is that, then the next thing is, well, maybe I need therapy and maybe I need to get straightened out so that I'm in a relationship I can find what I'm looking for. But of course, the first noble truth is that you're never going to find what you're looking for anywhere. Which means, another way of saying the first noble truth in the Vajrayana way is that relative reality cannot deliver what it doesn't have to give. Relative reality can never deliver the kind of union that we're actually looking for, ever. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have relationships, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't, you know, try to be whatever we want to be, but it means that there's a kind of inherent sense of separation in the relative itself, and that relative reality can never, if we stay on that level alone, we can never resolve any of the sense of longing and pain and separation that we feel always. The only way to resolve relative situations, because they can be resolved. That's the message. We're not saying they can't be. They can be resolved. But the only way to resolve them is by connecting with the basic space of our own nature, which is this space and the awareness of space. That's the message of Dharma. This is the basic message. Now, this is, I'll give another example. I have a friend who is really into past life. I don't know what the word is, but here's the thing. I mean, she feels that very strongly that a particular past life that she had has really messed her up and created a lot of suffering. And she spends a huge amount of time basically trying to resolve the past life. And she's always talking about it, and she's completely wrapped up in it. And she used therapy. And the thing is, the point here is that the past life difficulties can't be resolved on the relative level simply by, you know, going and finding out more about it and trying to, you know, it's not, because there's always somebody that's going back and trying to use the past life to create a more workable situation now. And the underlying assumption is, I can work out my problems. And I'm trying to work, I've got to work my problems out, because if I don't work out my problems, you know, then there's something wrong with me. And I'll come back to this thing again. The notion of having a problem is actually the human condition. And as long as we live on the relative level, the sense of a problem is inevitable, and we can change the problem and we can make the problem have a different face, but it's still that sense of separation and pain and difficulty and loneliness and alienation is, as we have been talking about the last 2 days, it's actually fundamental to the human condition. That's what the Buddha meant by the First Noble Truth. But the message of Vajrayana, and I think the message of the Buddha too, I mean, really, he doesn't, you know, the early teachings don't address relative truth in quite the same way, but the message is that the problem of the relative can be resolved. And not only resolved, but the relative can be seen to be the ultimate. But you have to give up trying to solve it on the relative level, and you have to abide in the ultimate. And that's where the practice comes in. I mean, you know, the thing about the body work is many people have reported that the feeling of somehow when they do the body work, there's a kind of, I'm not going to say it's instant, and I'm not going to say it's continuous, but that there's a feeling somehow that there's not a problem. That somehow, when they really fully enter into the body work, there's some kind of sense that the fundamental problem, whatever their particular problem is, there are times when they realize that it's actually not a problem. And in fact, some people have even said that they start to realize that their so-called problem is actually somehow has beauty and intelligence in it and gives them a way to live and a way to connect with people. I mean, and this is what we're talking about. When you connect with the ultimate and then you look back at the relative level, which is very problematic and completely run through with all sorts of difficulties and pain, but when you look at it from the point of view of the basic space, it's completely different. It's a whole different situation. And that's how you actually work with the relative. So that's the reason why space and the awareness of space is the basic message. I mean, there is no message. There is no other message. And you can say, well, why, what did, you know, you go into these Buddhist libraries and there are thousands of texts. I mean, what the heck are these people doing if space is the basic message? Well, the thing is, different people need a different presentation to get it and a different way in. That's why there are all these different, you know, it said there are 84,000 different methods in Buddhism, which is probably underestimating the number that there are. And those 84,000 plus ways in, they're all the way into the basic space. All of them, that's all they are. Normally in our lives, we are always trying to provide a thread of continuity in our experience. And at this point in the Dhatun, there's an opportunity to let go of that. Meaning that we don't necessarily have to put anything together. We can simply let things arise, capture us, and disappear. And we don't have to try to make any sense out of it, and we don't have to run this thread of me through the whole thing. When the space gets this big, which is very unusual, frankly, there is a natural discontinuity that begins to show itself. And we do start freaking out. And even freaking out is an attempt to provide the continuity of me. I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. Actually, that doesn't mean anything. It actually doesn't mean you're freaking out. It's just that the energy gets intense, and so we come up with this thing, oh, I'm freaking out. And that becomes a kind of self-identity. Oh, okay, now I know where I am. Cool. Now I've finally located myself. I'm freaking out. But it's very important. Yes, the energy builds, and it feels a certain way, no doubt about it. It feels very intense. It feels that we can't manage it, we can't control it. That's true. That is how we feel. But you can just let it be that way. You don't have to create a whole big thing out of it that you're freaking out and you have to run. Run, run, run. Run away from yourself. Run away from your sangha. Run away from your practice. Run away from the dhaten. However you do that. Not necessary. Just let the energy build. Let the weird, crazy thoughts run through your mind. And then realize in the next moment there can be this huge blue sky. No problem. And you don't need to sit there going, what happened? What does this mean? You don't need to do that. You see, reality is given in our experience, and we don't need to add a lot of things onto it, and we especially don't need to add the idea on of, I'm freaking out, and this means blah, 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 blah. It's completely unnecessary. So we could go to a deeper level here. And one of the last sort of, or main dhaten reference points, because, you know, frankly, a lot of them have slipped away. Isn't that true? A lot of, you know, I talk to people and they're just, you know, it's different. I mean, there are a lot of reference points that just aren't there anymore. But one of the big ones is my problem. I have a problem. And I'm working this problem. I'm going to work this problem out. And if you suggest to someone that maybe they don't have a problem, they get really upset. Now, of course, we do have habitual patterns. You know, in other words, we have habitual ways in which we shut the space down. We all do it. But the thing we have to realize is, in our culture, you see, we live in a Western culture and now a modern culture where having a problem is at the core of our identity. And I don't think I've ever met anyone now anywhere in the world who didn't think they had a problem and who was unable to tell me exactly what the problem was. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you go to other cultures and they have their thing, but they don't have this thing. And we have to realize that having a problem is something that we really latch onto. We love it. Because it really makes us feel that we're real. We know where we fit into the universe because we have this particular problem. You know, I have a problem with relationships. I have a problem in relation to work. I have an eating disorder. I have a substance abuse problem. I'm emotionally shut down. I have an emotional problem. I have too many emotions. I can't control my emotions. You know, I can't sleep at night. I sleep too soundly. I can't dream. And what we have to realize is that the thing is, we do have a problem, but the problem is actually that we feel we have to have a problem. That's actually the problem. And what we do is our entire world is a reflection of this inability to relate to space. It's not just that we have an emotional problem or a relationship problem. We put this thing on our whole life, and every single thing we ever do actually is a problem, which is our inability to actually let experience be what it is. We always have to shut things down. We always have to know where we are. So that's the basic problem. And actually, beyond that, there is no other problem. But that problem is all pervasive. But the strange thing is, in our culture, all of us kind of isolate one place where we do that, and then that becomes the problem. And then we freak out about that, and then all of the energy goes into it, and strangely enough, it becomes a whole way of being. You know, we focus everything on it, and then we become very compulsive about it, and we freak out about it, and we get, you know, into therapy about it and so on. When actually, we're actually creating the whole situation as we go. And I'm not saying that those things aren't real. They're very real. But I don't think we always realize that one issue is not really the only problem. The problem is actually all pervasive in our life. And it's the same problem everywhere. We are compulsive beings. We're always shutting down space. So what's happening in the Dhaten is, it's kind of like everybody, well, not everybody, but members of a certain gender have probably seen Top Gun, possibly. And in that movie, which I personally have been subjected to probably a dozen times, and actually, I actually like that movie, I need to admit it. You know, in the movie, they have this thing in these jet planes where it locks on the target. And you're trying to, you know, you got the enemy jet up there, and there's all this sky, and then it comes in and it goes deet, 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 and the red light goes on, and you've locked on your target. That's what we do with this, our particular problem. And the what happens there is in our state of mind, we lose touch with the sky. Now, here's the Dhaten point. This is the interesting point. You know, we can work with our problem in the relative world, and that's good. And I think that a lot of times through therapy and through, support groups and so on, we can begin to unpack what's going on in this particular habitual pattern. And I think that's a valuable thing to do. But in the Dhaten, what we're doing is something that is rather different, and it's important to understand that, which is through the body work, we actually get out of the thinking about our problem. When you're in your body, you're not actually thinking about it. That actually is the beginning of the healing process. The more we focus, the more we lock in on it, and the more our friends and our therapists and our family, our spouses, everybody goes, yeah, you've really got this problem. I mean, there's a conspiracy that goes on. And again, it's not that that's not something that needs to be worked with. It's that everything needs to be worked with. And by focusing on that, you're actually ignoring a lot of the other things that are supporting the basic problem. And in this culture, you know, there's certain things now that are identified as being problems. And everybody reinforces that sense of identity, which makes it even more solid, which, strangely enough, actually makes it much harder to work with. So the Buddhist methodology here, which is the Dhaten approach, is that the more we relate to basic space, and the more, you know, we're in our bodies and we begin to experience, if not the basic space itself, at least our resistance to it, that basic space itself is the healing agent. And I've said this a few times during the Dhaten, but I'll say again because it's extremely important and it's something that you might actually miss. The more you rest in basic space, the more the problem or problems begin to unravel themselves. They actually begin to unravel. And in Buddhism, there are many different methodologies that are used to work on ourselves. But the most profound and the most powerful is when we actually let go of thinking that we have a problem and we start making a relationship with the bigger space. That's what I mean when I say, don't feel that you need to provide continuity in your life right now. You don't need to tie things together, and particularly you don't need to tie things together with your problem, if you know what I mean. You work with the basic space, and what it does is it begins to, the whole thing begins to loosen up around our habitual patterns. And when you do long retreats, and when you do particularly Mahamudra practice in Dzogchen, the whole point is to let go of any sense of kind of trying to struggle with the whole situation in a relative way and plunge your mind into the vastness of the unborn. And that itself becomes the most powerful purifying agent. It changes your karma, and over a period of time, things unravel by themselves. The problem with coming in with a relative mind and trying to solve relative problems, in other words, staying purely on the relative level, is that it's ego trying to fix up ego. And even though you might have a better ego fixing up a worse ego, you're still tying yourself up in knots. You might get out of one problem, but then you're going to have another problem that you have to unravel. So in Buddhism, you come to Datun, you think you have all these problems, and believe me, many people have said to me, you know, I have these problems. You know, a number of people are thinking about, well, you know, I need to get back. I need to get back to work. I need to get back to my relationship. I need to get back to my pet. You know, I need to get back to my proper diet. I need to get, you know, it's really amazing. But fortunately, people are staying with the space. And that actually is good. There's no problem thinking that you have to get back to your problem as long as you don't exit from the healing agent itself, which is the space that has been created here and that you guys have put together. So my invitation is to, you know, you can think you have a problem sometimes, that's fine, but then be willing to let that go. Oh, maybe I don't have a problem. Or maybe right now I'm not thinking about my problem and I don't have to dredge it up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when we're sitting and things are pretty calm, we think, well, but I have this problem. And we're just trying to keep the whole thing going. The more, you know, when you're resting, and I know this is not going to go over well, but I'm going to say it anyway. When your mind is open and there's a sense of space, at that moment you actually don't have a problem. You do not have a problem. There is no problem there. That basic space is completely whole, completely healthy, and at the same time, it has a very powerful purifying effect on our karmic entanglements. So I invite you to really explore the situation. My thought is we'll have two more days of silence. Monday night, I actually want to work with you in the evening, in the night. We're going to just kind of work with the notion of basic space and open this up further. And don't feel you have to maintain anything. You're in such a unique situation now. This is the only time in your lives when you actually don't have to maintain anything. And any particular sense of identity, I mean, nobody here cares. You know, nobody cares. I mean, we've all got our own problems, right? So nobody cares if you're this way or that way, if you're blue or green. Nobody really cares. And nobody's waiting for you to reaffirm their situation. So it's a very, very unique possibility to experience discontinuity and just to kind of watch how it goes and watch what happens when you don't try to tie it all together. Watch. It's so interesting. And you may find a kind of healthiness that begins to emerge in you that you actually thought you would never have. And I'll just say this about myself. You know, as I kind of went along the path when I was in my 20s, as I've said, you know, I probably already mentioned it, I really... my karmic entanglements were so intense, I thought there's no way they're ever going to be resolved. I mean, I'm just stuck, I'm this damaged person, and I'm going to be damaged for the rest of my life, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, when I talk about a problem, I had a problem, and I thought about that problem 24 hours a day for a long time. And through the practice of meditation and working on myself, I made the astounding discovery that that's not true. And that no matter what your situation or how deep your problem is, basic space heals. Basic space heals. It heals everything and anything, because basic space is more fundamental than any of the karmic blockages and patterns that we have. So we do need to work out our habitual patterns. I mean, that's the whole point of Buddhism, to untangle, unravel, and dissolve our habitual patterns, so we're actually not caught in them. But I'm suggesting the way to do that is actually to not focus too much on them, at least while you're here, and allow the basic space to do its thing. If we do that, then we're creating a very powerful ground for further work in the relative world, further work on our, you know, the places where we particularly get caught. So, something to think about.
Download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.